worldwide on the Golf Club Network. It's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Welcome. You're in the clubhouse. It's June 9th, 2012, and it's the second major of the LPGA season, the Wegmans LPGA Championship. Joining us shortly, Ron Syrak, executive editor of Golf World Magazine, senior writer for Golf Digest, and author of the Vision 54 trilogy. But first, let's thank the people who put us on the air.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, and sheet metal. When you need a new roof, flashing, gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, or a commercial kitchen and custom stainless steel counters, it's Alakai Mechanical. Also brought to you by Poipu Bay Golf Course. Combine the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr. Bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And by Star Protection. For property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business or special event. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
Mostly sunny skies is what we'll have today. Some scattered showers in the afternoon and high of 87 degrees. Beautiful day today. Go play some golf. Wegmans LPGA Championship at Locust Hill, Pittsburgh, New York. Christy Kerr won by 12 strokes in 2010, and Yanni Sen by 10 in 2011. Well, I'm not there. Ron Syrak, executive editor of Golf World, is. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Danielle. How are you doing?
Excellent. Excellent day. And the weather, I understand, is the questionable issue in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we had some thunderstorms overnight. They're playing lifting in place out here now. And we're going to have some more today. It's clear it's going to come in. I'm looking out there right now, and the sky is completely overcast, and we got some thunderstorms coming. Golf course is playing long and playing extremely difficult.
So lift clean in place. Unusual for a major.
Yeah, you know, it certainly wouldn't do it at the U.S. Open. They never do it there, but they do it at this tournament. And you know, it's going to be even with that health. I don't think they liked how low that the last two winners went here when they moved the LPGA Championship here, and they're not going to let that happen this time. They've really pinched the fairways in. They've really grown the rough up, and we're not going to see. I mean, geez. You know, I think 5 under par would win this golf tournament.
Well, that, now it's exciting. And I was wondering that very thing, you know, knowing that Yanni won by 10, it's just interesting. Christy Kerr by 12 the year before, that they would have to do something to defend this course from these players. They're very good. And Yanni Sen, of course, we all expect her to be at the top of the leaderboard, and I was surprised how far down I had to scroll. I read an interview with her, I think it was on Thursday. She said she simply couldn't hit her. She was very disappointed. She couldn't hit fairway. She couldn't putt. She couldn't do anything. Oh, does she have a physical issue?
I don't think so. I talked to Stacey Lewis yesterday, who played two rounds with her, and she said she's never seen Yanni play two consecutive rounds as poorly as she did. My guess is that part of what's going on here is just adjusting to all the distractions that come with success. You know, she is now unquestionably the best player in this tour. She's won 5 major championships. She's 23 years old. As we're seeing with Rory McIlroy on the men's tour, when success comes your way, you've got to juggle a lot of balls. You know, you've got to deal with media demands. You've got to deal with corporate demands, all that stuff. And it's not an easy transition.
The television made a big deal about showing the trainers or her people massaging her arm. And it seemed like that may have been a problem, but you don't think so?
You know, I don't. But,
who knows?
You don't really know. You're not going to know until down the road. I think it's more of an emotional thing than a mental thing.
Okay. Paula Creamer is co-leader now, it looks like, with Yoon-hee Ji from Korea.
Yep. They're both 3 under par. They both played through 6 holes today. This golf course sets up very, very well for Paula. I mean, remember, her one major championship is the U.S. Open. Mm-hmm. And what's the U.S. Open all about? It's hitting fairways and hitting greens. That's what Paula does best, and that's the way this course is set up. if we're talking about a major championship where three under par is the leader into the third round, then you're talking about a golf course where you don't have to make a ton of birdies. You just have to make a lot of pars, and that's Paula's game. What she struggled with since winning at Oakmont in that U.S. Open, and this is amazing to me because she struggled with her putting since then. And up until that time, I thought she was one of the two or three best putters in this tour. But she's right now ranks like sort of in the middle of the pack in putting. And that's a problem for her because she doesn't hit the ball far enough to be able to putt erratic.
Yeah, we're going to have Dave Stockton Jr. joining us a little bit later in the show to talk about putting. But it's the one club that, you know, you can have it and then just, well, I suppose you can with all of them. But once it goes, it hurts. You just can't find the feel again.
I think we're seeing that with Tiger Woods right now. In my mind, Tiger hasn't putted the way that we expect to see him putt since 2009, since before all the turmoil happened in his personal life. If he had putted in 2009 the way he putted in 2000, he'd have won three majors in 2009. He didn't win any. I mean, he could have won the Masters, the U.S. Open, and the PGA. He certainly would have beat Wang Yang in the PGA. But that 6 to 8 foot putt that for Tiger Woods has been inevitable for 13 years is no longer inevitable. And that's a scoring club right there. As great of a power player as Jack Nicklaus was, what made Jack Nicklaus was he putted better under pressure, those short putts, than anybody I've ever seen.
Let's go. There's a lot of storylines coming out of this Wegmans LPGA Championship. And Grace Park retiring at the age of 33 has to be one of the biggest ones. A one-time Hawaii resident. We're very proud of that, by the way. A six-time winner on the LPGA Tour Major. She won the Nabisco. Retiring because golf's not fun anymore. Did you have a chance to talk with her?
I did. And yes, you're right. I mean, Grace moved to Hawaii when she was 12 years old to learn to play golf. And we know how great Hawaii has been for developing junior golfers. And she then went from there to Arizona State. The first time I interviewed Grace was 1999 at the Women's U.S. Open at Old Waverly in Mississippi. And you could tell watching her hit balls on the range then that she was really, really special. But by the time she was 25 years old, her body started to break down. She had a bad back, she had a bad hip, she had a bad neck. And she'll tell you right now that she didn't take that seriously enough to putt. She did not. She tried to play through the pain and tried to gut it out and grit it out. And ultimately, she got to the point where, I mean, she won the Kraft Nabisco Championship in 2004. She won the Nine Bridges Tournament in Korea later that year. And has not won a golf tournament since then, 2004.
I read your article, and you made her cry again. I mean, here she's trying to keep it together, and you give her a hug, and she starts crying. What's up with that?
Well, you know, I one of the things I love about covering the LPGA is these are the most approachable, accessible athletes on the planet, way more than any other athletes I've ever dealt with. And I thanked her for being available to me, for being somebody who would always do an interview and always talk and tell you the difficult stuff. She tipped me off yesterday. She was going to retire at the end of her round so I could be there when she finished.
Wow.
And that was very nice of her. That doesn't happen a whole lot on the men's tour.
No. Closeted, to put it mildly. Was Grace Park the Phil Mickelson to Annika Sorenstam, Tiger Woods?
Well, she was going to be, think of when she turned pro. She turned pro in 1999. She played the Women's Open that year as an amateur and finished eighth. And then she turned pro. That's 1 year after Suri Park had won two majors, first on the scene as the great Korean player, and Grace was going to be the next great Korean player. And she won six tournaments, and she won six tournaments in a major before she was 25 years old. It was all there for her. And then her body broke down. Plus, she had all that other stuff. She's attractive. She's articulate. She was a total marketing package. She could have been hugely important for the LPGA.
Now let's talk about someone whose putter has left her and who could have been amazingly important to the LPGA, Michelle Wee. 74 on her first day, I thought, well, that's not bad, you know, but something told me there was an 80 in her. And it came on the second day, and that was the 82. Did you say was she shot 44 on the back nine?
She shot 44 in the back nine, and her last 10 stroke play rounds for the LPGA, she's averaged 77. Yesterday she hit 4 of 14 fairways. She hit half the green, and she had, and this is the most troubling number, and this has been her troubling number as long as she's been out here, she had 37 putts. You're going to hit half the greens. You're going to do better on the with the putter in your hand. We did a story with her probably in April, May, somewhere in Golf World about the fact that she was going to graduate from Stanford. And to me, the most telling quote in that story is she said, "My years at Stanford were the happiest 4.5 years of my life." And to me, what that meant was that she really loved having that opportunity to be a kid. And I'm not entirely sure she likes this life. She likes the life of a professional golfer. It's an odd, strange life. I mean, you know, I live it as a writer, traveling from town to town. I liken it to, it's like being in the circus. You know, you go into a town, you put the tent up for a week, you perform for a week, you take the tent down and go to the next town. And I'm not entirely sure she likes that life. I think she likes golf, but I think the life of a professional golfer is be a hard life, particularly when you've spent 4.5 years in college with friends and having a good time and being a kid.
Someone said that they were watching her, and I think it was on your Twitter feed. You can follow Ron Cyrak. It's at Ron Cyrak. That she looked miserable practicing.
She doesn't look happy. I mean, that's for sure. You know, she doesn't look like this is where she wants to be. Now, that could change. She's an enormously, enormously, enormously talented player. And when I saw her at 14 years old, honestly, I saw a better game at 14 than I'm seeing right now.
She doesn't have any feel. It's like she's not feeling it.
I think you're exactly right on that. I think that she has become much more robotized over the years. I do think this is my personal feeling, and the family doesn't agree with me about this, but I felt from the very beginning that putting her up against the men when she was 14 years old was a bad idea for two reasons. One, Tiger Woods learned to develop a mindset of domination because he beat everybody his own age before he would move on to the next step, and Michelle didn't have that. And two, this whole thing that she could hit it as far as the men and stuff, well, she could hit it as far as, like, Fred Funk, you know, but she couldn't hit it as far as the Longley men, and I think it ruined her tempo, that wonderful, glorious, big, wheezy tempo that we knew when she was 14 years old is gone because I think she tried too hard to hit it too hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you put everything into those big muscles trying to make that ball fly, you lose all the feel. You're not feeling it anymore. Let's move on to another college graduate. You wrote a great story, Cheyenne Woods. Did not make the cut. What did you think about her?
Well, first off, she's enormously comfortable with the media. You know, and she looks like, gosh, you look at her, a quick glance, you look at her, and you think it's Tiger Woods. She's got those Earl Woods high prominent cheekbones. She's got that same great smile that the Tiger used to flash more easily than he flashes it these days. But and she was very easy with the media. She's very comfortable because, as she says, having the name Wood, she's had media attention since she was 12 years old. I'm not sure how good she's going to be. You know, Tiger came out here as a can't-miss kid. I think Cheyenne is more of a question as to how good she's going to be. I think she'll compete out here. I think she'll keep a card out here. I'm not sure if she's going to be a star.
G.I. Shin, just, you know, is looking through. I mean, here's a great player. She underwent palm surgery, from what I hear.
Yeah. And G.I. is one of those players who can't go away a lot because, again, she doesn't hit the golf ball very far. She's hitting rescue clubs into a lot of par fours, and she needs all the tools out there. She's got a great, she's got the perfect mindset for to be a competitive golfer because she's so even keeled and so has her feet firmly planted on the ground. But the fact that she's going to give away 30, 40 yards to somebody like Ayane Tsen on most holes is a tough handicap for her to give up.
Yeah. Well, we wish her a speedy recovery. I was checking it out at soulsisters.com if you want to find out more about the Korean players on the LPGA Tour. It's a great location. Suri Park.
That's a great website.
Isn't it? Yeah. Suri Park. Here she is back after a shoulder injury as she was in the lead after the first round. Now T8. How's she playing?
Yeah, I mean, Suri is, she's 2 over for 6 holes today. She's slipped back from 3 under to 1 under, but she's still very, very much in here. For Suri, it's been for a long time. I remember being at the 2003 British Open, and we came to the last hole, and Suri Park and Anik Sorenstam were tied for the lead, and Suri drove into a pot bunker, made bogey, and Annika won the British Open, completed the career Grand Slam. In 03 with a par on the last hole. And it almost seems to me like Suri never recovered from that. She got the driver yipped after that and couldn't put the ball in the fairway and admitted that she was burned out. I mean, remember, she won the U.S. Open and the LPGA Championship when she was 20 years old, first Korean star, and she finished that year in 1998 in the emergency room of a hospital in Seoul, Korea with exhaustion.
Wow.
And I think being the first out there and being as good as she was really took a toll on her emotionally and physically.
We have a number of American players, Paula Creamer, Jennifer Johnson, Stacey Lewis, and Christy Kerr are moving up the leaderboard. Who do you think has the best chance to win under the conditions that they're playing under, the lift clean in place?
Well, I do think that the court sets up very well for Paula. But I do think that Stacey Lewis is really emerging as the best player, the best American player right now. She's now number 4 in the Rolex ranking and is the highest ranked American. She's got a lot of grit and grind in her. She's won 2 times this year. And what I like about Stacey is she's getting better every time she goes out there. And she's definitely on an upward arc. Paula, we have to see if she can get back to the form that she once had. But right now, Stacey is the best of the American players.
She really wants it, too.
She does. Absolutely. That's a great point. The fire is burning very, very intensely in her belly.
This is an interesting situation for the LPGA. From what I've read, and, I only can read, you're there. will there be another Wegmans? Are they going to start talking with contract talks? I mean, from what I understand, Locust Hill is a great venue. They've been a great sponsor, but the deal ends Sunday. Will there be another Wegmans LPGA championship?
I think there'll be another Wegmans. I'm not sure it's going to be the LPGA championship. This has been a spot for 35 years. It's a great place for the LPGA to come. The fan turnout here is enormous. the way they embrace players here is terrific. Now, the LPGA owns the LPGA Championship. And I think, if I was the commissioner of the LPGA, what I'd do with the LPGA Championship is take it on the road. I'd take it to Asia once every 2 years or 3 years. I'd move it around. I would be surprised if I expect next year for there to be a Wegman stop on the LPGA. I would be surprised next year if it's the LPGA championship.
I like that idea of moving it around.
They have, because they own the tournament, they can do anything they want with it. And I think it's inevitable they're going to have to take a major championship to Asia eventually. It's just the Asia influence and the Asia financial of women's golf and the LPGA is just too strong right now to not take a major championship to Asia.
This is Twitter week on the LPGA with the caddy bib sporting the Twitter handles, the IDs of all the players. Are they seeing an increase in followers?
Well, except for the fact that they misspelled Suzanne Pedersen's name the first day on her caddy bib. They're doing okay. I mean, I give this tour all the credit in the world. They do a lot of things right. I think embracing social media is one of the things they do right. I tweeted a photo yesterday of Grace Park cutting out on the last hole of her last, I thought at the time she ended up making a cut. I thought it was going to be the last hole she ever played on the LPGA. and they let me tweet a photo from that. That wouldn't happen on the PGA Tour. They wouldn't let me do it.
No,
I think the LPGA is doing good things in terms of trying to deal with pace of play and imposing penalties that way. PGA Tour won't deal with that. I think the LPGA, in a lot of ways, and because it, part of it's out of, I don't want to say desperation, but the need to get more attention, they're doing the right thing in terms of embracing the media.
Here's a corny one. They're thinking outside the box, and it's working.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know there's a lot to talk about. Have I missed anything that's on your mind?
No, I think you got it all. I leave here on Monday, and I fly to San Francisco and for the Men's U.S. Open, and we see what happens there next week. And for the second time this year, people have been running to the table to proclaim that Tiger Woods is back. I'm not convinced, and I think we'll get a better idea next week at the Olympic Club as to where his game stands.
Okay, that's where I was going. There are some interesting pairings. Of course, it's the Tiger Phil Bubba show. But which one do you like the best? The USG has been very creative with these pairings.
Yeah, they do a lot. I think the British pairing is pretty good, too. You know, we got Luke, Rory, and Lee Westwood,
yes.
I think, together. But, now, sadly for my life, and people listening aren't going to think this is sad, but that Tiger-Phil-Bubba pairing goes off at 7:33 in the morning, so which means about a 4:30 wake-up call for me, so I'm out at the golf course in time to be able to walk with him, because that's clearly where you have to be in the first round of the U.S. Open.
Right.
But I do like the fact that the U.S. Open in the last, and they have been doing this for several years now, they've gotten very whimsical with their pairings, and I like that. I think one of the other pairings, they have the three long putters together, Keegan Bradley, Webb Simpson, and Adam Scott, and all three using the broomstick putter, which I think is the USGA's tongue-in-cheek way to tell the public the long putters on their radar screen.
I like Alvaro Quiroz, Gary Woodland, and John Sendon. They're going to send those drives all the way to the next tee. Ricky Fowler, Rio Ishikawa, and Dustin Johnson. The girls will be following there. The question, finally, if you had time to play golf in San Francisco, where would you play?
Oh, boy, I guess I want to play Harding Park. I certainly would like to play in the Olympic Club, but I think Harding Park is the sort of the historical significance of it. Public golf, one of the great things about San Francisco is that public golf has always played an enormous role there. I mean, from Ken Venturi on, it's been a great, great place for public golf, and I'd want to do Harding for that reason.
Well, I'm looking forward to talking to you next weekend from San Francisco when you're at the Olympic Club and find out how following those three guys that early in the morning went for you.
I'll talk to you next week.
Aloha. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency has been providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Guards on foot, bike, and patrol cars for your business, buildings, or retail. Whether it's a store or an entire shopping center, Star Protection provides the security you need. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection is peace of mind.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment. From window system to cooling towers across Hawaii, call Alakai Mechanical. Keeping you cool.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Waipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Waipu Bay. yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that? Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Carol Presinger, Director of Golf Instruction at Kiowa, a master LPGA teaching and club professional, served on instruction panel for Golf for Women magazine, contributor to Golf Digest, Golf Magazine, and you've seen her probably on Golf Channel during instruction shows with Kelly Tillman and Mike Ritz. She grew up in the game with her father, a retired life member of the PGA, gave it a shot on the tours, and decided on instruction. Welcome to the show, Carol.
Hello, Danielle. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. And I've got the book, Golf Magazine's The Best Instruction Book Ever, the expanded edition. It is chock full of interesting tips, but I like yours very, very much. In fact, I like one of yours the best, or maybe both of these. Okay. Excellent tips. First of all, how to fix a faulty setup. Now, how many of you have stood there with your ball on the tee and you're going, all right, are my feet far enough apart? Are my hands too close to my body? Should I put them out there? Let's see now, where's that ball supposed to be? Is it supposed to be? You've got the solution. Tell us, how am I going to figure all that out in the quickest, easiest way?
Well, there's a lot to think about, isn't there? But
yes.
we want to try to simplify it. And when we're thinking about tips, we want to think outside the box, because some of these same old that you've heard for decades doesn't work anymore. And we know that a lot of people read Golf Magazine, and if they have a magazine in their hand, what you could simply do is take it and open it up and put it down on the floor between your feet. And that will give you a parameter as to how wide your stance needs to be. You can also use the inside of the edge of the magazine to see where your hands are falling, because we want your hands and arms to hang. We want your hands to hang somewhere between your shoulders and your chin. And when you set up, standing above that magazine, straddling that magazine as if you're reading it with it open, your hands should fall on the inner bottom part of the magazine. Your eyes should feel like, when you bend forward for your posture, that your eyes are over the top line of the magazine.
Uh-huh.
So that's one way you can use something as simple as a magazine to help you find a good starting point for a good setup.
That's great. I just did it.
And it has to be, you don't have to be an athlete, but you need to get into an athletic position.
Okay.
So
you kind of
want,
yeah, go ahead.
We want you to feel engaged when you do it.
How do I know I'm engaged?
You want to, it's kind of like being on the opposite end of the court of Roger Federer, and he's about to serve a tennis ball to you. So you better be ready.
That is perfect. That was beautiful. I love how you describe things. This is, if you can get it, this is, and I'm sure you can, this is the best instruction book ever from Golf Magazine. Really, it in each page, there's a couple of great tips. And I found this one on page 41 of the book, How to Fix a Faulty Setup. And it's just so perfect. You just take a magazine and you look at the picture, you see your stance is beautiful, of course.
Okay.
You see exactly, I mean, it's so simple. A magazine put between your feet, you can see exactly where you're supposed to be. Now, this one really threw me, okay? I think this is on like 90, 91, something like that. I don't think it's 41 and 91, but you get the message. How to increase your swing speed. Everybody wants to increase their swing speed because they want solid contact with that ball. They want to watch it fly. So everybody, of course, you know, thinks they're going to muscle it. Sure, right? You're going to go to work it out in the gym, get really strong. You're going to be able to use that club, hit that ball. Maybe not.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is you can swing as fast as Tiger Woods or Rory or Suzanne Pedersen, but if you're not hitting the ball solid, it doesn't really matter, does it?
No. Okay. So what's the solution here? How am I going to get faster?
How do you want to... Fast club head speed. Your hands and arms have to be swinging fast. We want that. But your body has to be moving in a certain sequence in order for you to take all the torque you create in rotation and the leverage you create with your elbows and your wrists you need to use your dynamic balance properly to deliver all that energy from the torque and the leverage through the club head shaft down there to that club head. And how you're going to do it is using the big muscles of your glutes and your quads and your hamstrings, and you need to get to your target side first, early. It's just like throwing a football. Bowling, even I bet in Hawaii when you're surfing, you have to use your feet for balance.
Uh-huh.
So you've got to use the energy properly to take your big muscles of the lower body, shift into your target side, which will drop all that torque and leverage in a position for you to deliver it through the bottom of the swing arc.
You know, when you said that, I was thinking of Rory McIlroy's swing.
Uh-huh.
You really can see him do that.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, wow. Dustin Johnson, he's another one. But how about when you increasing your swing speed with your fingers? Don't your fingers play a role in that?
Well, to be able to release the energy that comes from your body up through your arms to your hands, the best place that we like to see golfers place the handle of the club is more in the fingers, not up across the palm. And typically, we've always called that a weak grip when the handle of the club is diagonally up across the palm. When it's lying in the fingers, your wrist can cock properly, hinge, break, whatever you want to call it. And you've got to be able to get down in there and release. The arms rotate, and the wrist hinge has to release, and you square that club face up and hit it solid and centered in the face. So you combine the two. You create speed and energy, and you're also hitting it more solid.
So when I was reading your tip about how to increase your swing speed, you know, it's in the fingers, too. You said the palm grip, that weak grip, the palm grip creates tension.
Yes, when the handle is up across the palm, and if you were looking at your left hand and you see your thumb, we call those pads, right where your wrist ends and your palm begins. We call the pad near your thumb the toe pad, and the pad on the inside of your palm the heel pad.
The little finger, yeah.
And yeah, across from the little finger. And we want you to hold that handle underneath those pads. And that's where, when all your fingers are wrapped around that handle with both hands, you have an equalization of pressure. And when the club's up in the palm, Daniel, everybody holds on tighter, and the tension creeps up through the forearm muscles into the shoulders. Tension restricts motion. That's a law of physics. So if you don't have that handle of the club placed properly based on your own size hands, the length of your fingers, the width of your palms, then you're going to create pressure, and pressure kills club head speed.
Oh, look at this. Are you learning? I am. Okay.
And the easiest way to quantify that is if you can feel the weight of your club head, then your grip pressure's okay. But if you cannot feel anything down there at the end of the shaft, you're probably holding on too tight.
Ah, now tight. Sometimes doesn't the grip, the size of the grip, influence how you're holding onto that club?
It can, but it's really more of the texture of the grip, and that's where a lot of companies now are making these tacky, spongy, softer grips that where you don't have to squeeze the daylights out of it.
Uh-huh. So, in other words, it's not necessarily, you know, a long time ago I was playing tennis and I got a grip. My hands are big. You do need to think about that, depending on the size of your hands. But more importantly, you're saying it's the tackiness of the grip so that your skin is making contact so you don't feel like you have to hang on to it with your muscles?
Yes, exactly. But you have a fitting variable there with the grip size. And sometimes women have long fingers.
Uh-huh.
And a women's standard grip is too small. And so what that does, it doesn't really tighten up the hands. It will make you release it. Even with a guy, if a grip diameter is too small, your hands will turn too quickly. You'll shut down the face and probably spin the ball to the left. Just the opposite. I have small hands, and I play with men's length clubs. So when they put a men's grip on the club, they have to stretch it an inch, so it makes it a little bit smaller for me to hold on to.
Stretch
because
it?
They can't get a lady's grip on a men's shaft, so they have to stretch the grip to make it smaller.
Interesting. See, this is this is part of club fitting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. You have to have equipment that encourages your performance, no matter what handicap you are.
Oh, I like that. Have equipment that encourages your performance. It's not going to make you a super player, but it'll encourage your body to play better.
Yes. Absolutely. You don't want any excuses out there.
No. We've got to. Now, you know, one thing that you mentioned about the torque. And I'm going back to swinging. Mm-hmm. Some people listening may not be able to do that torque thing anymore, you know?
Right. Right.
So, you know, all that twisting, it's really great. And you watch it on television, you go, gee, my body doesn't do that anymore. I feel like it could, but in actuality, you know, okay, it's not gonna. So what do you recommend for people who don't have the ability to do that twist?
Okay. When you look at a golf swing motion, you're looking at rotation, dynamic balance, which is your, you know, lower body weight shift, and then your arms create width and your levers create leverage. So if one of those things can't work, for example, rotation, then you've got to make the most out of your balance and your leverage. Usually we see people who have limitation with their rotary motion. They either can't rotate to the right as far, but their rotation to the left is very good, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. Maybe they can rotate to the right, but they can't get through to the left. So if you can rotate more away from the target, then close your stance and get the most out of that torque, and then use the leverage that you have with your arms to strike the ball. If you just the opposite, if you find you can't rotate, as a right-handed player, if I couldn't rotate back very far, but I can rotate to the target, I am going to probably square up or open my stance, set my levers up, and then use rotation to go forward. But you have to be careful. You always have to check with your doctor if you have issues with the back.
Thank you. That's
the last thing we want you to do is go out there and try something that your body won't let you do.
Exactly. Yes.
So
it's really important.
The key is, if you can't rotate, we know that the way to hit a ball solid and compress it is to have the majority of weight on your target side. So if you can't rotate and shift, you better set your weight, preset your weight on your target side and keep it there.
You can
take those arms and swing up and down and get that ball on a descending blow. You're not going to hit it as far, but at least you'll hit it solid and up in the air.
Watch Arnold Palmer. Seriously. I mean, you know, maybe he'll be a little bit more limber because he's in his 80s. You know, but he adjusted his swing so that he could still play given his physical limitations. This is Carol Presinger, and you can find Carol's website, Carol PREISINGER.com. She is a master LPGA teaching and club professional. You're not on Twitter, are you?
No, I gave the tour my tour card a try way back in the mid 80s, and you know, you can have all the talent in the world, but if you don't have the discipline to practice and that fire in your belly to, you know, at that time in my life, I didn't have that.
You mean,
and I don't care how good you are, you've got to want it so bad to make it out there. And, you know, I found out that I like being in one place, so I'm doing okay where I am.
It's interesting that you should say that, because when I was speaking with Ron Syrak earlier, we were talking about Michelle Wee, and the question, she liked being at Stanford. It was having a family in one place and being, you know, centrally located rather than, as he said, going on the road as a circus, you know, one stop, two stop, three stop, constantly picking up and moving on and never having anything but the traveling circus that travels with you. And if that's not a homey feeling for you, it's not going to work. Now, Stacey Lewis, there's a girl who really wants it, who's really comfortable in her surroundings, who loves what she's doing. And most of the top players are like that. They've really adjusted, at least for the time being. At least that seems to be the feeling I get. It's been a real pleasure talking with you. You're just you're wonderful the way you bring it down to earth. I have enjoyed this thoroughly. You can find also all the tips that we've been talking about in this great book, and it's not something that you're going to pick up and read in one. It's not one of those books. This is one of those books that you open up and you look for what you need, or maybe you don't even know what you need. Just go.
I mean, it's got all these little gems in it, so you're going to find something in there that's going to help you, that's going to click when you read it, and it's going to make a world of difference.
I'd love to have you on the show again.
Thank you. I'd love to come back on.
Wonderful, Carol Presinger. Thank you. The Director of Golf Instruction at Kiowa. Maybe I can even get down and visit so you can actually show me all those tricks with the magazine and what have you.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you here. The resort is hosting the PGA Championship in August, and anytime you want to come to the Kiowa Island Club, you just call me and let me know.
Absolutely fabulous. Carol, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle.
Aloha, and we'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
So I was sitting in my office feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinting do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation, Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels, your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Hey, it's demo day at Waikele Country Club, also at Pukalani Golf Course. So get out to the demo day where you can try all of the clubs from the various vendors, including TaylorMade. And Jerry King will be out at Waikele today with Paul Ogawa. So get on out there. That's Waikele, and that starts at 10 o'clock. And Pukalani starts at 10 o'clock. And it says Jerry's going to be at both. I don't see how he's going to do that. Actually, Jerry will be here on Oahu, and at Pukalani, Ron Huffman will be there, and Alfred Fuimano. Excellent. Go test all the clubs. Oh, let's do something. Let's give away some Penta golf clubs from TaylorMade. No clubs. Golf balls. Okay. The number to call is 808-296-5467. Next weekend, Jerry King will be at the Mililani Golf Club Family Day 2012 at the Mililani Golf Club. Again, that number is 808-296-5467. All right, let's welcome Stacy Ammon, the Director of Golf at Mililani Golf Club. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. You got something happening at 9 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You've got, what, kids playing for free with a paying adult?
We do. It's called our Family Day, and it is quite a day. It will be full of activity, and about every golf club you want to try and hit will be here.
I see that. Adams, Callaway, Cleveland, Cobra, Mizuno.
Yep.
Nike, Ping, TaylorMade, Titleist. Everybody's coming out, and there's free hot dogs and popcorn and cotton candy. Is it good to have cotton candy at 9 o'clock in the morning, Stacy?
We better do some laps around the putting green for the kids, I think.
Don't you have free clinics, too?
Oh, clinics. There's going to be the putting contest. We've got the PGA has a junior golf instruction program called SNAG, Start New at Golf, that we'll be doing. It's going to be a good time.
What is SNAG?
It stands for Start New at Golf, and it is a simple way with some bigger clubs that the PGA is designed to make it fun and simple to learn. So it'll be a good time.
That's for the kids.
Yep.
And then there's a sample sale. Ladies, it's Father's Day coming up. There's a sample sale, so you want to go. It's always fun going through the sample sale. The golf clinics, a putting. What's the putting challenge? I want to come.
Putting challenge. For those who know that manufacturer, they make great putters.
Yeah.
And they'll be sponsoring that event, and you'll have a chance to win a putter.
A putter. Okay, so do you know what the rules are? Like how far away the... How long the putt is going to be, anything like that? Can you give us some tips?
Oh, it won't be the hardest challenge ever, but there's three different balls that we use, and, we make it fun. It's a fun contest more than it is a PGA Tour event.
Oh, good. Fun is important. Okay, so other participating vendors are Pepsi and Costco and FootJoy and Pima Direct and Oakley and Tin Cup and the Mililani Golf Club restaurant. Everybody's getting in on this. So if you want to play free, your child, that is, you can bring one child with one paying adult. That's a great idea. You can go in. I think it's a good idea to go do the get into golf snag, right? Get
yep.
the kids into golf and then take them on the course. Could they play 9 holes instead of 18?
Yeah, you bet. We 9, 18, whatever they want to do, we want them to come on out and enjoy the festivities with us.
Absolutely great. And do you also have walking days at Mililani?
Yeah, we do allow walking every day. We have walking after 3 o'clock on the weekdays, 3:30 actually, and we get a fair amount. We have a lot of regular walkers out here.
Yeah, I know. It's a very popular course because of that, because you make it available to walkers.
Yeah, it's a good walking course because it's not real hilly, too. So.
Yeah, the Mackay course does that at Princeville. The Woods course is walking. It's for $18. It's a great idea to have a walking, because people like to get out, and it's not a fun walk spoiled.
No, for us it's only 15, and, I don't know. For those who don't do any walking, boy, when you get out and do it, even if you just do 9 because maybe you're not in walking shape, it's, to me, it's how golf is meant to be played. It's fun.
It is fun. Get one of those little pull carts. Make it easy for yourself.
It's quite different, actually, from riding, of course.
Yeah, well, I think it's better. You get a better sense of the lie of the land.
Yeah.
And instead of walking off to get your cart and pulling it up, walking is good. So it's family day at Mililani Golf Club. It's this coming weekend. Demo day, clinics, contests, food, prizes. Some of the food's free. Hot dogs for the first 250 people.
Mm-hmm.
And cotton candy.
Mm-hmm.
I hope. And popcorn. It's going to be a fun day. It always is at Mililani Golf Club. You're doing this on U.S. Open weekend. Did you realize you were doing it on U.S. Open weekend?
Yeah, and Father's Day also. So, yeah, to us it's a perfect time, and, it doesn't have to be, it's not an all-day event, so come on out and get your fun in with us at before 2, and then, catch the golf after if you TiVo it or want to play after, and, get plenty of time in the afternoon and evening to do the Father's Day thing.
Yeah, and you can hang out in the restaurant and watch the golf.
Yeah, Alonzo's is, of course, a very popular spot here in Mililani. They make unique local-style food that, broke the mouth.
Broke the mouth is right, yes. Okay, so who are you rooting for in the U.S. Open?
Well, I've been picking Lee Westwood probably about the last 3 or 4 majors, just because I think he's got the game. And
he won today. He won today.
Did he?
Yes, he was 19 under. He won by 4 strokes.
Yeah, I really think, he's a talent that will win a major. It's just a matter of time. So I'm rooting for him. But also, it's nice to see Casey Martin in the mix and Davis Love qualified. I'll be rooting for those guys, too.
Okay, and how about Dennis Miller? Did you see his putt that sat on the lip and then he turned around? He wasn't looking when it dropped in the cup?
No, I missed it.
Oh, man, I didn't see it live either, but they've replayed it so many times on Golf Channel that you can't... Just turn on Golf Channel, and they'll show it to you again.
And you'll see it, huh?
His name is Dennis Miller. He's tried to qualify in a sectional 12 times. He's now going to the U.S. Open.
Oh, what a great story.
And he's
story.
A club professional, you know? And, he, yeah, it's a great story. But Casey Martin, going back after 12 years, back to Olympic Club, after fighting with the, you know, the PGA Tour and everybody else about being able to use a cart.
Right.
And being, I think he played something like four times in the past year before going to the sectional. That's amazing. Really rooting for him.
Yeah, you know, he comes across on television as just a really good guy. And, you know, you have to admire people who overcome the kind of challenges that he's had.
Absolutely. Director of Golf, Mililani Golf Club, Stacy. Now, I'm... Stacy, I want to pronounce your name in lots of different ways, and tell me how it is correctly pronounced.
It's Ammon.
Ammon. Stacy Ammon, of course. What's
wrong
with me?
Yeah, you wouldn't know it by looking at it, but that's how we say it.
It's great. Thanks for being on the show.
I appreciate the support, Danielle.
Absolutely. We've had a lot of fun talking, and I'm looking forward to getting out for Demo Day, Adams, Callaway, Cleveland, Cobra, Mizuno, it's not every day that Mizuno is at a demo day, guys. Nike, Ping, TaylorMade, Titleist, it's at the Mililani Golf Club. It is the family day. Lots of fun between 9 and 2 o'clock next Saturday, June 16th.
See you then.
Aloha. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club. Poipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911. Or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Oh, that's what's happening at Locust Hill for the Wegmans LPGA Championship. They're playing Lift, Clean, and Place because of the less than stellar weather. They're having a lot of tee storms blowing through. We're going to have a mostly sunny day in Hawaii, though. Partly cloudy in the afternoon. That means it's going to be mostly sunny with just a little bit of clouds. That's how you define partly cloudy. It's very strange. Then, okay, so it's going to be very good today with easterlies 10 to 20 miles per hour. The high today is going to be about 88 scorching degrees. Be sure to bring your sunscreen with you because it's going to be hot and it's going to be fun and you're going to not notice it until you go home and you're going to go, oh, goodness, look what I've done to myself. Volcano. There's a 10:30, 11 o'clock, and 11:30. Would you like to play golf? Makalei has a 9:40, a 10:52, and an 11:56. Poipu, they're starting their 30% off tomorrow, Father's Day. And they've got a tee time for you at 10:10 and 11:30. Ko'olina has an 10:32. I was about to say 8:08, but that's just a little bit tight unless you're right next door. And there's a 12:32 too. And McKenna has a 9:36, a 10 o'clock, and 11:44. And around the state, all the clubs are getting out. And they're, you know, like Club 71. and the Summer Bash is happening at Makalei, and American Fidelity at Poipu, and the Victory Golf Club at Ko'olina, and the Salvano family at McKenna. May you all hit the sweet spot every time, and it's getting larger and larger. So what I started to say 14 years ago is becoming easier and easier to do, and I'm very happy about that. Let's welcome to the show Michael Patrick Shields, our golf travel correspondent extraordinaire. And Dave Stockton is here, too. Dave Stockton, Jr.
First, yeah, aloha, Danielle, and your erstwhile producer, Rick Gray. It's Michael Patrick.
Michael Patrick Shields. You know,
yeah.
I just wanted to tell y'all that Andy Fenkner, who lives in Seattle, but he's on Maui, is the winner of our TaylorMade Penta golf balls. It just shows you that you can call in from just about anywhere and be a winner. And so I'd like you to do that in a little bit. We're going to do that again, okay? And just write the number down, 808-296-5467. Michael Patrick Shields, you went to this most beautiful, the Grand Del Mar.
Yeah, you know, I know that you're a classy kind of girl. And if I told you that I was going to send you to a 15-star hotel,
yeah,
you would say, what do you mean 15 stars? I thought they only went up to 5.
Yeah.
Well, Grand Del Mar, just outside San Diego, is a 15-star property because they've been given the rating of 5-star hotel, 5-star spa, and 5-star restaurant. And that is a very, very rare thing to happen. It's only happened, I think, 3 other times.
Wow.
And all of those 3 other hotels are older. This is a relatively new property. And if you know, all of us are in a crunch for time. We want quality. And when you can do that and put golf on top of it in one destination, I mean, I think that's pretty darn cool. And you know, you can have the kind of day like I did. If you were to fly there from Hawaii right now, you'd get a lesson in the morning from a guy who played the PGA Tour, and his father is a major champion winner and a Ryder Cup captain. Then you go out and play Tom Fazio golf, 18 holes, okay? Then you rush over to the spa and get a 90-minute stone treatment. And then you go to a 5-star dinner at Addison, which is, I think, 7 or 8 courses, paired with wines. And then you know what? You say, I'm ready for my pine box. What else is there in life? You can put me away. That is the day that I had last Saturday. And it's this isn't a private place. This is a available to anybody who wants it, and it's right there in just outside San Diego.
I'm out the door. I'm on my way.
Yeah, come on. Let's go.
Wow, that was an amazing day that you just planned for me. Thank you so much. And it's San Diego is just like right across the pond. All you have to do, it's a little tiny flight. We love San Diego. Los Angeles, it's okay. San Francisco
is
wonderful.
The other thing is, too, you know, people might say, oh, that place has got to be really snobby. It is not. It's not that. When I say that it's gorgeous and lush,
it is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's not like Donald Trump over-the-top luxury, you know what I mean? That's
yes.
Glitzy and kitschy. This is classy, elegant, comfortable, friendly, sit by the fire, just really top-notch living. And it's so well done and so elegant. I don't usually gush so effusively about a place, but the fact of the matter is, and it's in a canyon, it's away from even any road noise or anything at all. And so it's just fantastic. And to me, the most amazing thing for you and your listeners is that you can get a lesson from a guy who played the PGA Tour. And he stands there and illustrates his points by saying, yeah, I was in the Canadian Open and I needed to make eagle on the last hole. And this is what I used.
Oh,
and
wow.
You're standing there saying, wow. You know what I mean? It's like a fantasy camp.
Okay, so bye-bye, Michael.
I understand. I set the table for the great Dave Stockton Jr. And I will say this. We had a 2-hour lesson, he and I, and I probably hit, between putts and shots, 20 shots in 2 hours, okay? That's all. It's the mental game, and it's what he teaches you, and it sticks, and it revolutionized the way that I play golf in 2 hours. Just by standing there and communicating with it and listening to him tell stories and showing me his philosophy and technique.
Wow.
And so I now yield the floor to Dave Stockton Jr.
It's been a pleasure, Michael Patrick Shields. Now,
love you.
Dave Stockton Jr., welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be on.
Oh, it's great. I mean, listen, did you just hear what he said? You revolutionized his game in 2 hours.
Well, he had nowhere to go but up, so it wasn't that tough.
He's right.
No, we had a good time, and Michael everybody's different, and it doesn't take very long for myself or my dad or my brother to assess what needs to be worked on and keyed up, you know, for individual people. So everybody's different, and I realized that you know, Michael was more working on the mental side, and a little bit of a tweak in the physical stuff, but mainly it was how he was thinking and getting him to think the correct way on the golf course.
Now, that's really important, because we focus on the mental game a lot on this show, but the mental game really doesn't come into play until you've got a physical game, until you actually have a little game. Don't you think, Dave?
Yeah, well, most people tend to work solely on the physical. They work, and a lot of times they're grooving bad things. They're not even grooving the right things. And they leave the 90% of it, especially short game and putting, 90% of it's mental. How you're approaching the shot, what you're thinking about as you're going through the process of hitting the shot or rolling the putt. And if you get people thinking the right way, that's 90% of it. Even if their 10% is off a little, if they're thinking the right way, it's going to carry them a lot farther.
Interesting, because what's the right way to think?
Well, I mean, seeing the positive image of what you want that ball to do. Most people get up over a shot or a putt, and they're not thinking positive thoughts. They're thinking negative thoughts. And, you know, it's...
This isn't going to go in.
Don't free putt like you did the last hole. Things like that, you know?
Yeah, I can't find the line. I'm not sure if it's going to do what I want it to do. You know, nothing like that will make your hand a little shaky, won't it? No, those thoughts
yeah,
alone.
Yeah, and most people tend to stare down at the ball longer than they look out at the hole, especially when it comes to putting. Putting's about feel and visualization. So if you're looking out at the hole, the most people I work with, I'll ask them the question, are you ever uncomfortable when you look out at the hole? And they say, yeah. And the reason they're uncomfortable is they've set their feet looking down at the ball, which is a novel idea, because the ball doesn't mean anything. What matters is where you're sending the ball. And so if you visualize, if you watch anybody we work with on tours or amateurs, it doesn't matter. Anybody we work with, we're going to have them put that putter down behind the ball and set the feet looking out at the hole, visualizing it going in. And so in the end, it's as simple as visualizing it going in and feeling the speed. And you get that from what you visualize, you know, looking out at the hole. And what else do you see? And you're also seeing a positive image of that ball going in the hole. And when you come back to the ball, that last time coming back from the hole, it's time to roll it. We don't stare down at the ball for a second or two or three, because that's just going to get you to try. You know, one of the things that we have everybody do is to sign their signature. Just go ahead and sign. You could try it right there in your booth. Sign your name, right. And then underneath it, we're going to have you sign it again, but take about 10 or 15 seconds. Go slow and make it look the same. And you have no chance. I mean, you'll just start laughing like you are right now. You can't do it.
No, actually, I can't. Uh-huh. You're absolutely right. I got all squiggly.
Yeah. Yeah. And that second signature is really how most people approach putting or the game itself, short game, everything, where they're trying to hit the shot or trying to make the putt. And it's not about trying. It's about trusting what you're doing and letting it go. And that first signature and letting it go is the key, is to have that approach.
Excellent. Excellent advice.
Yeah.
I could feel everybody just listening to you going, say that again, say that again. I want to hear that again. You know, it's so important, the visualizing the shot. And then once you don't focus on the ball on the below you, is basically what I got. And when you do make the decision to putt, do it. Don't think
just
about it.
Go. That's right. That's right. Yeah, the more time you spend looking down at that ball, you're going to get conscious. And, you know, our putting book, Unconscious Putting, and that's where we want you. We don't want you, other than visualizing it going in, I always tell people, you know, visualize it, you know, trust it and let it go.
That's the unconscious golf that we wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, the unconscious putting.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just getting people out of their own way. Most people, you know, are doing that second signature where they're trying, because what are we taught from our parents when we're younger is to try our hardest in everything we do, right?
Yes.
Well, it doesn't work when it comes to putting.
so all of that intent, that positive energy that you think you're putting into it as you're trying to focus and make all the right decisions is probably exactly what you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you want to have the positive image of what you want that ball, what you see it doing. And then, but then in the end, it's letting it go. It's like if you hit a bad shot or a bad putt and you drop the second ball, that second ball usually goes where the, you wanted the first one to go. And the only difference between, I mean, my second ball, I'm still on tour. I'm not on tour with the first ball anymore, but that second ball, it always goes where you want it to go. And the difference between those two, the first one, you just hung on, just tried a little bit too hard. And the second one was, you dummy, you know how to do this. Just let it go.
Yes, when you're not trying. When you watch the guys on television, when they miss a putt, and then they go back and go, ah, the heck with it, and they just hit it in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
That would have worked if they had done it the first time.
Right.
Before they missed it by 2 feet. Right. I totally understand what you're saying. But it's so simple to say that, and it's so sometimes difficult to execute it. How do you practice that?
Well, that's a good question. It's not about quantity. It's not about hours and hours of continuous practice because, you know, your attention span, most people can, you know, maybe 30 minutes. Max, where you actually, you know, can focus on what you're doing. And one of the things I'm huge on is having a routine. And everybody's routine is that, like their signature. It's yours and yours alone. And you make it your own. Whatever, if it's one look, if it's two looks to the hole, three, make it consistent and have it be the same every single time. And you practice that way. If you, you know, when we practice, you know, people we work with, it's no more that you use two balls max when you're putting. If you make two balls from one spot, we move to a different spot.
Yes.
It's just continuously moving and changing it up and going through the routine each time. Because if you practice with a purpose, what you practice and how you practice is going to reflect on how you play when you go out on the course. If you just, you know, you've probably had days where you come out and you warm up and everything's great. You get out on the course and all of a sudden you're hitting it terrible. On the course. Well, what's the difference? The difference is you weren't focusing on anything warming up. You were just warming up, and then you got on the course and started trying.
Yeah.
That trying is not good. It's trusting. Two different things.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Now I'm getting it. I'm feeling it because when I'm practicing on a putting, I feel like this is crazy. What am I doing? How many times am I going to hit this ball?
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't feel right. But what I now understand is. Practicing my routine before I decide to strike the ball. That is something I can practice.
That's, you can control that. I mean, you can't control what the other players are going to do or weather and all that, but one thing you do have control of is your routine and having it repeat. You know, you've seen players on all tours, top players in the world, their routine breaks down and bad things happen. Like that poor girl at Nabisco this year when she missed the 12-inch putt.
Right.
Her routine is not the same.
Right. When you speed up or you slow down or your emotions get in the way. I mean, Sergio Garcia is a perfect example. You know, he's playing well. He bogeys. He gets this face. He gets this look. He's like, and you just think, oh, God, he's gone. He's left. He's left the building,
yeah.
You know?
And yeah.
It's almost sad to see. Patrick, did you want to say anything in the midst of all of this?
Just that, again, that, you know, to be able to go to a resort and have a tour player teach you, and then, like, I'm telling all my friends now, yeah, Dave Stockton Jr. is my teacher.
Yeah.
And it works, you know, and then mentally to myself, I'm like, yeah, I learned from a guy who was out there. I mean, I think he played, what was it, almost 200 tour events. He grew up, you know, at Ryder Cups and around his father and watching these great players play, and he knows what he's talking about. And at the same time, super friendly. Obviously, if he can work with an 18 handicap like myself and then go work with Martin Laird and Rory McIlroy and some of the other guys that he's worked with, it's really just a unique experience. And I it's called the Grand Del Mar in San Diego, and that's where you can get him. And it's Dave Stockton's signature golf.
Stockton Golf at the Grand Golf Performance Academy. Private instruction, golf schools, corporate events, all available. And you can even find Dave Stockton's phone number or email him. If you go to the website at Grand Del Mar, then go to golf, It's thegranddelmar.com. Go to the golf, then look under Stockton Golf, and there you'll find him, all the contact information. It's Unconscious Putting. That's the name of the book, right?
That is the name of the book, and then we have Unconscious Chipping coming out in the fall. We've got another book coming out.
Oh, excellent. You'll have to join me when it comes out. I'd love to talk with you about that.
Sure, that'd be great.
Yeah, because, you know, chipping is, in a way, like putting. You have to really trust that your body and your mind understands automatically the angles. I think we put way too much thought into that. Am I holding? You know, it's like if you just walked up and you take a look at it, you look at it, you go, oh, yeah, bam, it'll work.
Right.
That's fabulous. Fabulous idea. Excellent. Good talking with you. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. And Michael Patrick Shields, our travel guru extraordinaire for the golf club.
Thank you, madam.
Always appreciate you being on the show. Thanks.
Mahalo and aloha, and I'll see you soon.
We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment. From window system to cooling towers across Hawaii, call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
So I was sitting in my office feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinting do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation? Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels? Your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
KPUA, Hilo, KGU, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo, KTOH, FM1, Princeville. How about us winning some tailor-made Penta golf balls? What do you say, huh? Wouldn't that be fun? I think so. The number to call is 808-296-5467, because I love to give away prizes. It's so much fun. And then I get to send them to you. I go down to the post office and make sure they go priority mail and come zipping into you, and you get to go out there and lose them. Hopefully not, but, you know. We know it's real. Okay, mostly sunny skies today, partly cloudy with scattered showers in the afternoon and isolated showers as well in some spots, and the winds are easterly 10 to 20. Now, partly cloudy with scattered in the morning, isolated showers in the afternoon. All right, we've got some tea times for you. Volcano has an 11:30, Makalei has a 10:56. They've got the summer bash going on. Poipu, Father's Day, 30% off, starts tomorrow. 10:10 and 10:30 is today's tea time for you. Ko'olina has a 10:32 and a 12:32, and Makena has a 10 o'clock and an 11:44. We've got, over at, speaking of TaylorMade, over at Waikele Country Club on Oahu and on Maui at Pukalani, there are demo days. Get out and check out the clubs. TaylorMade will be there, by the way. Turtle Bay, the amateur entry invite. You know, it's going to be played October 13th and 14th. It's the Turtle Bay Amateur on the Palmer and Fazio courses. The Palmer course is wonderful. So is the Fazio, but the Palmer course is wonderful. As past participant, we want you to get in there. Okay, register for it. So go to the Turtle Bay Amateur website, Turtle Bay, click on the Amateur, get your entry in. If you forgot, yep, it's coming up. It's the 10th anniversary already. Now, let's welcome to the show Ryan Ballingy. He's the writer for Golf Channel. He's been on the show for years. And welcome to the show, Ryan.
Hi, Danielle. How are you?
Good. Did I make you just feel really ancient?
No. Makes you feel experienced.
Yeah, okay. Now, you got to be at the memorial where Tiger Woods won. And you were following him on Saturday. Couldn't be on the show on Saturday. Did you follow him on Sunday?
I did as well on Sunday, yeah.
What was that? I mean, come on. Share the excitement.
Well, in my limited experience as a golf reporter, I've never been around for one of those Tiger moments. Yeah, but I wasn't around for 2005 at the Masters. I wasn't around for the Broken Lake round as a playoff, even against Rocker Mediate in 08. I wasn't around for the shot from the bunker over water at the Canadian Open. It's almost 11 years ago now. So this was really my first moment where I was there to see what Tiger can really do in a big spot. It's like the tournament turned on a dime. Woods trailed by a shot going into the hole. He knew he needed at least one birdie to get into a playoff. He probably needed two to win. And he makes the birdie and makes an incredible chip shot. I mean, there was no way he intended for that to go in. He said afterward, inside 10 feet would have been really an excellent shot. Playing partner Ricky Fowler agreed. So did Jack Nicklaus. All of them thought that would have been incredible. But he played a tremendous shot. The result turned out to be one of those moments that you're just not going to forget, especially if you were there in person to see it.
I bet. And what was the roar like, the experiencing the Tiger roar?
It's hard to describe because you're just not used to hearing it go from basically dead silence to 110 decibels in 0.5 seconds. I mean, when that ball disappeared, people went from excited to lunatic. And it was kind of funny, especially because earlier in the day, those same lunatics were hoping Ricky Fowler would beat the snot out of Tiger Woods and win the tournament. I mean, they were clearly in Ricky Fowler's corner at the start of the day, and at the end of the day, Ricky Fowler was in Tiger's corner because he was a bystander to history.
Yeah, yeah. That what you just said is it's difficult to describe being there because it's what did it make you a believer in all the hype about Tiger from the past that people have been wondering where is the Tiger Woods we knew?
I mean, I've seen him play a lot of rounds of golf in person before, and I've watched him play now his last six rounds of tournament golf in person. And I realized he didn't play that great at the Players, but I could see signs that the ball striking was very good. He just was going a little left. And if he could straighten out that a little bit, he was going to be in great shape. And the putting wasn't so hot. But what Tiger does really well when he's at his best, give himself lots of chances and just takes advantage of enough to be able to win the golf tournament. And that's what he did at Memorial. He was amazing for Peter Green. Joe Lacava said he missed maybe two shots all week. And there was one on Sunday. He double-crossed himself into a bunker 10. Made a bogey, but other than that, he was pretty much flawless on Sunday. He just gave himself a lot of chances, and he realized not to get down on himself because he had been playing so well to the green. Eventually, something was going to fall. Something was going to work. It did.
When you see him play so well, and you've seen him play not well, obviously, do you see why people wonder whether it's really time to say he's back?
I don't like the discussion of whether he's back or he's not, primarily because it seems to be held on a shot-by-shot basis on things like Twitter and Facebook. And I don't think that's a fair assessment of a Tiger as a golfer. He has now 73 PGA Tour wins. He has two this season. That's tied for the most of anybody on the PGA Tour. And all of a sudden, he's a 5 or 6 to 1 favorite to win the U.S. Open Olympic Club next week. You know, and all that took was one really good round to fix that problem.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily buy into the discussion period of whether he's back or not. He's an amazingly talented golfer. I mean, he's the best golfer alive that's still playing golf. So do we have to have this discussion whether he's back or not? Yeah, I mean, it's been a fodder, but truth be told, he's back, and he knows he's back. It's just whether he's he wants to engage in that discussion. I don't think he does. And I think he'll make that statement when him being truly back, when he wins a major championship, says, now what?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see that at the U.S. Open coming up. Corey Glatt, congratulations. Capole, our winner of our TaylorMade Penta golf balls. So let's make the transition to the U.S. Open coming up next weekend. Very exciting. Oh, by the way, Rory McIlroy is doing just fine at the FedEx. Okay, St. Jude, rather. Excuse me. So you were in golf's longest day, weren't you? When you all started at Golf Channel from like 5 o'clock in the morning until 7 o'clock at night, covering all the sectionals?
Yeah, we had at least someone at all 11 sites. Whit Watson was on one of the two courses in Columbus, and I was on the other, Ohio State University campus, for much of the day, getting there by around 6:45 in the morning, and then eventually transitioned over to Scioto Country Club, which will host the 2016 U.S. Senior Open. That's where they had the 4-for-3 playoff for the final three spots. They were giving out 16 that day. As well as two alternate positions, which will turn out to be a big deal, I think. And got to be probably the second greatest shot I've ever seen in person in consecutive days. It was amazing. It was a great experience to watch somebody like Dennis Miller persevere through against basically three PGA Tour caliber players and earn a spot in the U.S. Open after 12 tries, 7 times in sectional.
So you were there for Dennis Miller's ball drop into the cup?
I did, and it was... I really did not expect that to happen, obviously, because he had hit such nice putts. And it just kind of stopped there. I thought, okay, well, he's got his par. We're going to at least keep going. And he kind of slouched down and looked away and thought, I cannot believe that didn't win. And then before he could probably finish that thought, it did go in. And there were probably 75 people there. They all went nuts. And he realized what had happened because people were cheering. There was nothing else to cheer for. So it was a genuinely wonderful reaction for him and Caddy Kirkhoff. They were just really happy for what they had accomplished. And to be the third alternate that morning at 6:15 and then at 8:30 that night to be in the U.S. Open is just a wonderful turnaround of luck and a display of perseverance.
Absolutely. Truly amazing. I mean, to be an alternate and then go in to win. Casey Martin. Fabulous story. We've talked a little bit about it this morning. Mark McCormick, is that his name? The former bathroom cleaner who's never played in a professional? Where does he come from?
Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, I've read a little bit about him just by virtue of the accounts from the other sectionals. But you know, Mark and Casey and Dennis, obviously Casey to a lesser extent. But this is what the U.S. Open is about. It's about a chance for one of us to get into the national championship, and that's kind of how I wrote it for GolfChannel.com. That's the reason we celebrate guys like Dennis Miller, is because one of us got into the U.S. Open, and that doesn't happen all that often.
No.
Especially today, because there's more exemptions for professionals. There are less spots in qualifiers. There are more people trying to qualify than before. So it really is more difficult to get through, and for these stories to happen every once in a while, maybe not every year, but at least every other year. They're just remarkable. They should be favored.
Hey, whose caddy used to play drums for Bruce Springsteen? Do you
I
know that?
I think that's Mark. I may be making the wrong connection.
No, I
here,
think you are. No, I think you're right. I think it is Mark McCormick's caddy. He used to play drums for Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, he was one of the original members of E Street, I believe. And that's almost equally as cool of a story to have that kind of guy in the bag. I mean, that's a pretty cool conversation for at least 2 days of the U.S. Open. Talk about how great it was to be in the E Street Band in the 70s and 80s, and the heyday of Bruce Springsteen. So
truly amazing.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Have you been to Olympic Club?
I've never been to Olympic Club. Unfortunately, I guess for a lot of players in the field, they've never been to Olympic Club. The 14 years that have passed since the 98 Open, there's been so much turnover, obviously, in golf and obviously in this field, that most of them don't have much experience there. And so, in one sense, it kind of creates a more level playing field because it's going to be as much of a mystery to everybody else in the field as the professionals, as the top players, the favorites. And I think that'll create a somewhat more democratic process here to determine the national champion, but it strikes me about Olympic Club that in the open coast in the past, it's been host to major upsets. I mean, Jack Fleck over Ben Hogan, Billy Casper over Arnold Palmer, Scott Simpson over Tom Watson, Lee Jansen over Payne Stewart.
Yes.
All of those should have gone the other way. They really should have, and they did. And that's the thing about Olympic. It seems to create a major upset. So to take somebody like Tiger at 5-1 or Rory at 11-1 or what have you, I'm looking way down the list because I don't think that Olympic produces the best player in the world as champion. It produces upset.
Well,
that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like this opening six holes that's supposed to be the toughest six holes in golf. I expect them to stumble, trip, and fall their way down, you know, and be miserable the rest of the round.
Well, I mean, Mike Davis basically said if you got out of there even or one over par, you're doing pretty well for yourself. And that tells me that the USGA is desperately trying to protect par, especially in comparison to last year's birdie fest, where they were stymied by heat before the tournament, rain during the tournament, and creating conditions which were more akin to an AT&T National event to a US Open. And Rory McIlroy took advantage of it. The USGA looked pretty bad in the process. I think the end result is this year is payback. And Olympic Club is a great place to get payback. It's already hard on the stone, and U.S. Open set up to it. It's next to impossible.
Well, that's kind of like the Wegmans, you know. It was 12 under, or winning by 12 strokes in 2010, and then by 10 strokes. And they said, forget this. We're going to really make this a hard one. And then, of course, Mother Nature came along and decided to make some of the greens just about unplayable for a while, and thunderstorms rolling through, and so they're stopping, going, and stop. But how about this Olympic Club being, it's like built into a mountain. So it's,
yeah.
Right? So you're like playing with the 18th green had a 7-degree slope, and then they decided, well, maybe that was a little bit too much. Does the ball stop on a 7-degree slope? No, it just keeps going. Bye. So they made it, they redid it, and I couldn't believe it, to a 5-7-degree slope. Like, what's the big difference there? I don't understand that. Do you?
Well, I think it will seem pretty dramatic on greens running 14 on the stimp meter. Any change becomes dramatic at that point.
Yeah.
So I think that makes it a big deal. I mean, if it's running 10 or 9, then we're not talking about a big deal. But with how firm and fast the place is going to be, presuming they don't get any weather during the championship week and temperatures stay modestly temperate for that time of year in San Francisco, it's going to be really hard. I mean, really difficult golf course. You don't see a par 5 until 16, and that's 670 yards, and then you don't see another par 5, and that's the end of the course. And
Could you stop for a second, Ryan? Could you just say how long is that par 5 again, just for those who didn't hear that correctly?
670 yards.
670. 670. Is that the longest par 5?
I believe it is the longest par 5 in major championship history. Don't hold me to that, but if it's not, I'd be shocked.
I'd be shocked. That's a very, very long par 5. Okay. So, I've heard that, you know, Matt Janella was quite, when he said, Golf Digest travel editor, and he's on Golf Channel, he goes, I don't like Olympic Club, it's too hard. I would play there once, and I'd go over to San Francisco, and I would play, is it San Francisco Country Club? I think it's
the Golf Club, yeah.
Yeah, and he said I'd go play there 9 times, and then I'd go back to Olympic Club just to remind myself how much I don't like it there, and then I would go back. He really doesn't like it.
I don't think most people, frankly, like it. I think even if you ask the USGA in a moment of truth here, they would tell you they'd rather play at San Francisco Golf Club, but there's just not the facility there to be able to host the major championship.
Right.
That's the way a modern major is run, with tons of sponsors and lots of tents, lots of people and parking, and it just can't do it. But Olympic can. They have good courses, and they can spread it out. So that's why they get to host a major every now and then. And it's not the best course in the rotation, I don't think, by any stretch, but it is one that is capable of hosting an Open, and it just so happens this one's going to be really painful.
Really painful. We're going to watch some painful golf. Who your favorite pairing?
Well, I mean, obviously, I'm, partial Tiger Phil and Bubba. I think that's a tremendous pairing. Yeah. And I do like that they went with the top three players in the world, especially given that they're all British subjects. I think that's kind of interesting.
That's the Rory, Luke, and Lee.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's going to be, I think both of those groups are going to produce great results. And I do enjoy the wordplay on Carl, Charles, and Charles.
I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to mention, I think this is funny. Steve Stricker, Ian Poulter, Matt Kuchar.
they can like the wordplay or the country play, or they have a sense of humor about this.
This is great. This is really great. So I'm looking forward to talking to you again. We have to wrap the show. It's already over. It goes way too fast. Ryan Balaji, Golf Channel writer, thanks for being on.
Thanks for letting me close it out.
Absolutely. It's always fun. And I want to thank our sponsors for making the golf club possible. Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature, the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr., bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, ancient places of worship. It's Poipu Bay Golf Course. Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, and sheet metal. Whether you need a new roof, flashing gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, or a commercial kitchen, custom stainless steel counters, Alakai Mechanical. Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment. So you got to have that done first so they can figure out the best way to protect you. Protection for your home, your business, for your concert, your special event. Get the star team on your property. Avance Salon, color cut, silkening technology, extensions, manicures, pedicures, whether you're conservative or avant-garde, it's Avance. Thank you for your mama, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2012.